had received an invitation to supper at Netherfield, and despite a threatened downpour, was persuaded by her mother to go over on horseback. Sure enough, the rain continued the whole evening without intermission. There was no question that Jane could come back. The next morning, breakfast was scarcely over when a servant from Netherfield brought a note addressed to Elizabeth.
My dearest Lizzie, I find myself very unwell this morning, which I suppose is a result of my getting wet through last night. My kind friends will not hear of my returning home until I am better. Indeed, they insist that I remain in bed and have sent into town for Mr. Jones. Therefore, do not be alarmed if you hear of his having been out to see me. And except for a sore throat and a headache, there is not so very much the matter with me, I think.
Well, my dear, if your daughter should take ill and die, it would no doubt be a comfort to feel that it was in pursuit of Mr. Bingley.
Oh, I am not at all afraid of her dying. Jane is quite strong. If they keep her in bed for a few days, she will soon be well again, I'm sure.
It is to be hoped so, my dear.
If I could have had the carriage, I would have gone to see her, but...
And who says you may not, my dear?
Oh, don't worry, Mama. I will go this morning. I should enjoy the walk.
Thank you, Lizzie. I think someone should go, certainly.
Walk in all this dirt? My dear girl, you would not be fit to be seen by the time you got there.
But I should be quite fit to see Jane, Mama, which is all I want.
If you're walking to Netherfield, Kitty and I will come with you as far as Meryton, won't we, Kitty?
Oh, yes, let us. Oh, maybe, Mama, maybe. Oh, do say we may.
Oh, very well.
Oh, thank you, Mama, thank you.
Come on, if we make haste, we may see Captain Carter.
Oh,
only put on thick boots and stockings, mind. I don't want anyone ill at home.
Thank you.
Miss Elizabeth.
Well, this is a happy surprise.
Oh, please, Mr. Bingley, don't let me disturb anyone. How is she?
Oh, not seriously unwell, I think. A little fever. Caroline, get somebody to take Miss Elizabeth up. But how did you come? I had no carriage.
I walked.
What? You walked? All that way? Darcy, did you hear that?
I did indeed.
I can scarcely believe it. Are you not completely exhausted?
Not in the least, thank you, Miss Bingley. Now, if I might see Jane...
Yes, of course. Caroline, tell Betty to show her the way out.
No, please, don't anybody move. Thank you.
What an astonishing young woman. To go tramping through the mud 3 miles or whatever it is because her sister has a cold.
I thought it very kind of her.
And to come like that, all blousy with exercise and her petticoat 6 inches deep in mud. Did you not see, Darcy? I could scarcely keep a straight face.
I'm afraid the lady's petticoat escaped my notice.
At least it shows some affection for her sister, which, as far as I'm concerned, is greatly in her favour.
I have an excessive regard for Jane Bennet. She's really a very sweet girl. But I fear with such a family...
Oh, come, Caroline. No one is good enough to please you.
I am afraid, Mr. Darcy, that your vision of the lady just now can hardly have increased your admiration of those fine eyes.
On the contrary. If you must know, I thought they were even brighter for the exercise.
I see you are in one of your contrary moods this morning. I shall not open my mouth again.
Jane?
Hmm? Oh, Lizzie. Oh, thank goodness you've come.
My dear girl.
I tried not to alarm you in my letter, but well, I must admit I do feel most unwell.
Oh, you look so flushed. Let me feel your forehead.
Mr. Jones says I cannot possibly go home like this. Lizzie, what can I do?
Yes, you have a fever, I'm afraid.
But this is just dreadful, to make myself such a nuisance after they've been so kind.
Dear Jane, don't worry. I will speak to someone. Something can be arranged, I'm sure.
Well, the answer is simple. Miss Elizabeth can stay here until Miss Jane is quite better. I see no difficulty whatever, eh, Caroline?
Yes, of course she may, if she wouldn't object to the inconvenience.
It's extremely kind of you, I'm sure. Then I can look after her myself. She's particularly anxious not to put you all to any more trouble.
Good. Then everyone is well pleased. I'll make arrangements at once for somebody to go over to Longbourn to fetch whatever you require.
Oh. Now I must go up and tell her. You are exceedingly good, Mr. Bingley. My sister will be extremely grateful.
Most of the day was spent by Elizabeth in the sick room. But in the evening, when she had the comfort of seeing her patient asleep, she felt obliged to go down and join the company in the drawing-room. She found them at cards. but expecting them to be playing too high, she declined to join in.
So you prefer reading to cards, Miss Elizabeth. Is that right?
Oh, Miss Eliza is a great reader, I'm told. She despises anything so frivolous as cards.
I am afraid I deserve neither such praise nor such censure. I am not a great reader, and I enjoy many things.
I wish my collection of books were larger, for your benefit and my own credit, Miss Eliza. But I'm an idle fellow, as no doubt you realize.
I'm sure you have plenty that will amuse me well enough, sir.
I'm astonished that my father should have left so small a collection. You have a very fine library at Pemberley, Mr. Darcy, have you not?
It should be good, certainly. It's been the work of several generations.
And you have added to it greatly yourself. Mr. Darcy is always buying books.
Oh, indeed, how fortunate for him.
I cannot understand how anyone can neglect a family library in days like these.
Neglect? I'm sure you neglect nothing at Pemberley, Mr. Darcy. Do you know Pemberley, Miss Bennet?
I'm afraid I do not.
Many people consider it the finest house in Derbyshire. Much superior to anything in this part of the world. And is Miss Darcy much grown since I last saw her? She will be a great beauty in a year or two, I'm sure.
She's about Miss Bennet's height, I should say.
Such an accomplished girl, Miss Bennet. Her performance on the pianoforte is nothing short of remarkable.
Is that so?
It amazes me that so many young ladies can have the patience to be accomplished at so many things these days.
Oh, Charles, how can you possibly say such a thing? How typical, eh, Darcy?
But they all paint tables, cover screens, and net purses. In fact, one never hears a young lady spoken of without being told she's extremely accomplished.
Your list of so-called accomplishments has too much the ring of truth about it, Charles. In my opinion, they are all activities one could well do without.
Yes, indeed, Darcy. I entirely agree with you.
In fact, I can't recall half a dozen young ladies in my whole range of acquaintance that I'd call really accomplished.
Exactly. Nor I.
Now, Miss Bennet, please come to my rescue.
I was only thinking that Mr. Darcy must set a very high value on what he considers to be an accomplishment.
I do. Indeed.
In my opinion, no woman who hasn't a thorough knowledge of music, singing, drawing, dancing, and the modern languages should dare to consider herself accomplished.
All this she must possess, and yet be prepared to improve her mind by extensive reading.
Then I am no longer surprised at your knowing only 6 accomplished women, sir. My wonder is that you know any.
Are you so severe on your own sex, then, Miss Bennet?
Not at all. But I must admit I never myself saw so many virtues all united in one person. Now, if you'll all excuse me, I must go back to my patient.
Oh, must you leave us? Caroline?
No, don't get up, please. Good night, Mr. Bingley. Mr. Darcy?
Good night, ma'am. Now, I hope you'll have good news for us in the morning.
Eliza Bennet is clearly one of those young ladies who seek to gain the admiration of the opposite sex by undervaluing her own. And with the men of her acquaintance, I've no doubt it serves well enough. In my opinion, it's a paltry device, a very mean art.
The next morning brought a considerable improvement in the patient's condition and a consequent brightening of spirits in the sick room.
And if you continue this way, I see no reason why you shouldn't sit up a little this afternoon in a chair.
Sit up? But, Lizzie, I must go home. I cannot possibly trespass on Miss Bingley's good nature any longer.
Just a moment. Sounds like a carriage outside at the front door.
There you are, visitors. What did I say? All the more reason...
It's Mama.
Oh, no.
It is.
Oh, Lizzie. Oh, goodness, I feared that would happen. I mean...
I must go down at once. Don't worry. Even as a child, she always suffered from the most severe head colds. So I'm afraid there can be no question of removing her yet, Mr. Bingley.
I should hope not, indeed. It mustn't be thought of. I'm sure my sister wouldn't hear of it.
She's quite welcome to stay, of course, madam, if the doctor thinks it necessary.
Oh, that's extremely kind of you, I'm sure. But I shouldn't place too much reliance on what the doctor says. After all, I know her constitution so well.
Ah, Lizzie, my dear, I was just saying what severe feverish colds poor Jane always gets, and Miss Bingley was kind enough to assure me that there was no hurry at all for her to leave.
Mamma.
But there, you'll find her no trouble at all, I'm sure, for she has, without exception, the sweetest temper of any girl I ever met. And that's the plain truth, Miss Bingley, though I am her mother. In fact, I always tell my other girls, they are just nothing compared with dear Jane. Just nothing at all. But you have a very pretty room here, Miss Bingley. Such a pretty room. And such a charming view out there over the gravel walk.
So it was that Elizabeth found herself obliged to spend another evening at Netherfield, and one in which the claims of the invalid could not be made an excuse to keep her from the drawing room.
Ah, Miss Elizabeth. Come in. I'm afraid you find us rather dull company this evening. Darcy?
Charles, Mr. Darcy doesn't wish to be disturbed. He is writing to his sister.
If you'll forgive me.
Oh, of course. Please take no notice. I have my needlework here.
Thank you.
Miss Elizabeth, can you see there? Come, nearer the lamp.
No, no, thank you. I can see very well.
You write uncommonly fast, Darcy.
Mm-hmm. On the contrary, I write rather slowly.
Please tell your sister that I long to see her again.
I have already done so, at your request. Excuse me.
Oh, your pen seems to be troubling you. Let me mend it for you.
There's nothing wrong with my pen, thank you.
Miss Darcy is a lucky girl to have a brother who will write her so many long, charming letters. I'm sure I've never received such a one from Charles in my life.
It is certainly long, but whether it is charming is another matter.
In my opinion, anyone who can write a long letter with ease must have a particular gift.
Ah, but he doesn't write with ease. Do you, Darcy? He's always too busy trying to think of words, of four syllables.
My style of writing is certainly different from yours, Charles.
Charles writes in the most careless way imaginable. He leaves out half the words and blots the rest.
My ideas flow so rapidly that I haven't the time to put them down. Consequently, my letters generally convey no ideas at all.
Your modesty, sir, disarms all criticism.
There, he is done at last. Mr. Darcy has finished his letter. Now we may all be free to speak.
I didn't notice any great restraint before. But you are doubly free now because I'm going to read my book. Please talk as much as you wish.
Oh, well, then I shall read also.
I should.
Your sister is feeling better this evening, I hope, Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, much better, thank you. So much so that she will certainly be well enough to go home tomorrow.
Oh, not tomorrow. No, no, that will not do at all.
You are very kind, Mr. Bingley, but I have already sent to tell my mother. Thank you all the same.
Oh, very well. I suppose I must submit.
I hear so.
By the by, Charles, if you're seriously contemplating a dance...
And I am, I can assure you.
Well, don't forget that there is one at least among us who doesn't share your enthusiasm for dancing. Isn't that so, Mr. Darcy?
Darcy is reading, Caroline. Do not pester him.
I don't know what you mean. I'm sure I have no intention of pestering anybody.
Get on with your book.
Very well, very well.
You've dropped your thimble, Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, this is a tedious book. I cannot endure it. Miss Bennet, if these men will not amuse us, let us take a turn about the room together.
Oh, yes, certainly, if you wish.
There. Isn't that better? It's most refreshing after being so long in one posture. Mr. Darcy, you are not to mind us. Please go on with your book.
I am not minding you.
Yes, you are. He's only pretending to read, Miss Elizabeth. He's really observing us.
I was merely wondering what could be your object in parading up and down before us, and have decided the only reason can be so that we may admire your figures. Hey, Bingley?
Look at him. How like a man. I'm sure we had no such thought, had we, Miss Bennet?
No, indeed, of course not.
Miss Bennet may not have.
There, do you hear such insolence? How shall we punish him, Miss Bennet?
By laughing at him. I'm sure Mr. Darcy cannot bear ridicule.
Anyone may be made to appear ridiculous by those whose object it is to reduce everything to the level of a joke.
Certainly, but I hope I am not such a one. Only folly and nonsense I am prepared to laugh at. And I am sure that does not apply to you, Mr. Darcy.
Thank you, madam.
Well, have you finished your examination, Miss Bennet? And what are your findings?
I am perfectly convinced that Mr. Darcy has absolutely no defect whatever.
Indeed.
In fact, he admits as much himself.
Oh, good. Very good. Well, Darcy, what do you say to that?
Miss Bennet is quite wrong. I make no such claim. I have faults enough. My temper is not always of the best, and I cannot readily forgive other people their follies and offences against myself. No. My good opinion, once lost, is lost forever. That, I suppose, is a fault.
Yes, that is a failing indeed. But you have chosen it well, Mr. Darcy. I really cannot laugh at it. You are quite safe from me.
I suppose everyone has some defect of character that they can't overcome.
And yours is to dislike everyone. Is that right?
And yours is willfully to misunderstand them. Now, if you two ladies will be kind enough to excuse me.
The next morning, accordingly, a note was dispatched to Longbourn, which Mrs. Bennet received with some emotion.
Oh, dear.
Mama, what is it?
She's not worse, I hope.
Lizzie asks if we could send the carriage this morning.
Ah, that's excellent news, excellent.
Mama, if the carriage goes to Netherfield, may we ride as far as Meryton?
Oh, may we, Mama?
No, you may not. Your father cannot spare the carriage this morning. In fact, I am sure he cannot spare it at all today.
Indeed, I can, my love. In fact, I shall give the orders that it is to be sent at once. Jane and Lizzie home again. Oh, that's good news. Good news indeed.
Goodbye, Caroline. I do not know how to thank you or your brother for all your kindness.
You can thank me, Miss Jane, by being well enough to come here again on the 18th.
Oh, you can be quite sure of that, Mr. Bindy. I would not miss a ball for anything.
Come, Jane, you mustn't stand in the draught. Goodbye, Miss Bindy. My sincere apologies for all the inconvenience you've been put to.
I do not know what can have happened to Darcy, because I purposely told him you were going. But he was reading, so I suppose he does not wish to be disturbed. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
My regards to your family.
Well, I do not know when I've met with such remarkable kindness. Oh, they are a truly good-hearted, generous family, are they not?
Mr. Bingley is, most certainly. Dear Jane, I will say no more. Nothing shall deny you the pleasure of thinking well of everyone, however little they may merit it.
Their welcome home was less than cordial from Mrs. Bennet, while their father, though laconic as ever in his manner, left them in no doubt at all of his very real pleasure at seeing them in the house once more. But all thought of Netherfield was removed the following morning at the breakfast table.
Well, my dear, I hope you've ordered a good dinner, because according to this letter, we shall have an addition to our family, it seems.
Oh, who, Papa? Is it a man, Papa?
It is, Lydia.
Then it is Mr. Bingley, for sure. Oh, Jane, dear, just think of it so soon.
Oh, Mama.
No, it is not Mr. Bingley, my love.
Oh, then who is it, Mr. Bennet?
It's from my cousin Collins from Huntsford.
Oh, don't speak to me of that odious man.
Oh, but surely, Papa, Cousin Collins is a clergyman.
He is, Kitty.
What? A clergyman coming here?
Now, I'm sorry his coat is the wrong colour for you, Lydia. That's something I'm afraid I can't put right.
Well, I shall not put on my new taffeta, I know that. You will have to be content with my old last year's muslin. Pass me the butter, Kitty.
You know, don't you, that Mr. Collins is to inherit this house when your father dies. You know he may turn us all out into the street the moment he wishes, and all because the estate is entailed.
Yes, I know, Mama.
Oh, it's the wickedest thing in the world. How your father ever agreed to such an arrangement, I cannot imagine.
Mama, it is no concern of his. It was left so in the will.
To entail your estate away from your own wife and children to a complete stranger.
But, Mama, he did not.
And then invite him to come and stay.
He has invited himself. Papa has just said so.
It's no good, Lizzie, my love. If your mother wishes to believe otherwise, she will not hear.
Oh, well, he may come if he wishes, I suppose. But he need not think I shall speak to him. I shall not utter a word while he is in the house. No, I shall not, whatever you may say, Mr. Bennet.
I said nothing, my love. But you shall hear his letter, then perhaps you may think a little better of him.
I'm sure I don't wish to.
Oh, Mama.
I think it thoroughly hypocritical of him to write at all in these circumstances. Why could he not keep on quarrelling with you as his father always did?
Shh, Mama.
My dear, have you finished?
Please go on, Papa.
Dear sir, the disagreement between yourself and my late honoured father has always been a great source of uneasiness to me, and I have frequently wished to heal the breach.
I cannot be otherwise than concerned at being the means of injuring your amiable daughters, and beg leave to apologize for it, as well as to assure you of my readiness to make them every possible amends within my power. But more of this hereafter.
There, my love. His meaning is surely quite clear.
Oh, well, it shows he has some delicacy of feeling on the matter, I suppose. How old did you say he was?
Oh, about 29, I suppose. Why, my dearest?
My patroness, the Right Honourable Lady Catherine de Bourgh, widow of the late Sir Louis de Bourgh, whose bounty and beneficence have placed me in the favourable position that I have now the honour to hold, agrees with me in this endeavour to extend to yourself and your family an olive branch. Had she thought otherwise, I should, of course, not have presumed to write you this letter.
So, there you are. Now, do you not all feel somewhat more amiable towards him?
It's a little difficult to see in what way he can benefit us, is it not?
Is it, Jane, my love? I should have thought it was clear enough.
But at least the intention is to his credit.
He must be something of an oddity, I feel, don't you, Papa?
One would think so, certainly, my love.
I cannot make him out. There is a certain pomposity in his style of expressing himself. And what can he mean by apologizing for his inheritance? No one could suppose him to help it, even if he could. Can he possibly be a sensible sort of man, do you think, Papa?
No, my dear, I think not. In fact, I have great hopes of finding him very much the opposite. There is a mixture of civility and self-importance in his manner of writing that promises very well, I think. I confess I'm impatient to see him.
What is that? What are you saying, Mr. Bennet?
Oh, it's all right, my love. Lizzie and I were just exchanging a few remarks, that's all. Well, then, at 4 o'clock we may expect to see this amiable, peacemaking young gentleman. I must admit, I look forward to it with keen anticipation.
Mr. Collins, I beg your pardon that nobody was here to receive you. And do sit down, will you?
Thank you, ma'am. It may be that I am a little early, perhaps. Yes, it still wants a few moments to 4, I think.
You had an easy journey, I trust?
Oh, very, thank you. But then, for the first stage, my patroness was gracious enough to allow me the use of her carriage. A mark of distinction such as that is invaluable when travelling, I always find. I was treated with the utmost respect for the rest of the journey. Well, naturally.
Oh, yes, sir.
Lady Catherine de Bourgh, my patroness, is, of course, the widow of the late Sir Louis de Bourgh of Rosings.
Say you mentioned in your letter to Mr. Bennet, sir. There, I cannot imagine what can have happened to the girls. Mr. Collins, I distinctly told them to be dressed by 4 o'clock.
Perhaps a certain degree of shyness is the answer, hey, Mrs. Bennet. I suppose it's not often that young persons are suddenly confronted with an unknown cousin of the opposite sex. But I think I saw two of the young ladies in question peering from an upstairs window as I stepped out of the carriage just now.
Oh, that would be Kitty and Lydia, I'm afraid, sir, the two youngest. They're the forward things.
Oh, they withdrew at once, so I shall not disclose that their curiosity was observed, of course.
Well, I know one thing. I shall not go down a moment before the gong goes. Not for him.
Nor I. Of all things, I cannot bear a man with spectacles.
There, I think I shall do my hair so for the next assembly. What do you say?
Lydia, would you really dare?
Why not? Captain Carter says he likes ringlets.
So is Captain Carter now, is it? Oh, you sly thing.
For all accounts, you have a very handsome family of girls, Mrs. Bennet.
Oh, sir. Well, it is said, I believe.
And from my small observation just now, I should say that their reputation falls far short of the truth.
Oh, what most kind, sir. I'm sure most kind.
I've no doubt at all that before long you will have them all well settled in marriage.
Mrs. Burnett?
Well, it's certainly to be hoped, I must say. Or else they will all be destitute, poor things, with matters settled as oddly as they are.
Ah, you're referring to the entailment of the estate, no doubt.
Yes, sir, I am indeed. It's a most grievous matter for my poor dear girls, as you must realize.
Yes, yes, of course, ma'am. I'm most sensible of it.
Not that I mean to find fault with you, sir. These matters are all a question of chance, it seems. There's just no knowing what will happen to an estate, in my opinion, once it becomes entailed.
Madam, I'm most sensible of the hardship inflicted on my charming young cousins, and I could say much on the subject of my making amends in the only way open to me, if I were not, as it were, a little cautious at this point. Do I make myself clear, ma'am?
Well, yes, I think so. Mr. Collins. Well, sir, that's very kind, very obliging of you. That makes a difference, as it were.
Lizzie, I really do think we should go down. Poor Mama has no one at all to help her.
Yes, perhaps we should go, in our own interests.
What do you mean?
It has only just occurred to me that Cousin Colin's sudden appearance and his declared anxiety on our behalf can have but one meaning.
Lizzie, you surely don't think...
I do indeed. And to have left him and Mama alone together so long was surely an act of sheer wanton folly. Come, we must go down at once, before it is too late.